Okay. Let's just go back to the beginning of the piece quickly. So the Tzaddik says that Gedolim Ma'aseh Hashem Dushim L'chol Chatzim. Kapil Tehillim says that great are the works of God, and they're required for all their needs. So he says, Yodua, Kikoma Shabaraj HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo. Everything Hashem created in his world, who today is Sheikach Adam Mimenu, that a person should take from it, Limud L'avodas Hashem, a lesson for how to serve Hashem. V'Shakol Baruch Kvado, and that he created everything for his honor. Now, it's an important point to make about Reb Tzaddik, which is that I have never seen in Reb Tzaddik, that I recall offhand, a place where Reb Tzaddik says the Ramchal's reason why the world was created, why Hashem created the world. The Ramchal's reason why Hashem created the world is minimally because he's good and he wants to do good. And he wants to have, wanted to have an entity towards which he could direct his good. That's the Ramchal says it. And Ramchal says that there are people who understand that Hashem just created the world in order to manifest his glory, that he can do all this kind of stuff, and people who understand that that's the purpose of creation do not really understand anything at all. So the problem is that Reb Tzaddik very often does use this kind of terminology and say that Hashem created Hakol Lichvodo. So I once asked a very big expert on Reb Tzaddik from Nochum Lansky, one of the rabbeim in Neri-Son, Baltimore, very, very amazing person. And he said he doesn't think Reb Tzaddik disagrees necessarily with Ramchal. And in this context, what he means is that, of course, Hashem created the world for the purpose of doing and bestowing good. But part of the doing and bestowing good is to recognize that there's Hashem and act accordingly. So therefore, the Hakol Baruch Vodo is not the end purpose, but that too is part of the tool. The Kavan Hashem, the honor of Hashem, is a tool which we're supposed to use in order to emulate Hashem's goodness. In other words, if you see the honor of Hashem and the majesty of Hashem, you're going to want to emulate him, and therefore, the honor of Hashem and his majesty serves as an impetus to imitate and emulate him. Okay? K'mosh Amru V'shem HaRav HaKadosh MiPashishcha Zatzal. They say about from the Rav Simcha Bunei Parshishcha, Amasha Amru, that which they say, Shenikra Shemo Shaddai. One of Hashem's names is Shaddai. She'amar lo olamo dai. He said to his world, it is sufficient. Now, it's interesting that in Chazal, the term, that name, Shaddai, is taken to mean that it's sufficient, but it's sufficient in two different and apparently paradoxical ways. In other words, the world has sufficient Gili, revelation of God, that those who choose to find God can find him. And it's sufficient, that's one way Chazal approach it. And the other way Chazal approach is there is sufficient hester, concealment, that those who don't want to find God will not find him. So there is dying. Hello? Were you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, so there's dye on both sides. It's very perfectly calibrated that there's the act of belief in God should be one of free will. There's sufficient evidence to accept and sufficient evidence to deny, or sufficient lack of evidence to deny. You have to make the choice to go and see that the evidence is there, and therefore I'm going to choose to believe in God. And now he brings the evidence from Avraham Avinu. Hainu, so die, olomo da means, shu die, limoy men ha-kores Hashem yisbarach. There's enough to learn to recognize Hashem. Ukshibba Avraham Avinu lava shalom, v'roa bira achas dolekes. I forget exactly the story there, what exactly Avraham Avinu saw. It's according to the way it's related here, he saw a certain palace burning, but I don't remember if that's obviously not the full story. But it says that when he saw, let's see if we can find quickly the full story. when he saw that, you know, it does say that Avraham Avinu saw that the world was so complex, and therefore it had to be created by a creator. That we know. But I'm not sure what it specifically means that this thing was burning. So, but that's the idea which he wants to. That's the idea he's expressing here. That that Avraham Avinu perceived. There's enough revelation for the person who looks to perceive that there is a, that there is a God, and here it is. It's a I lost it. One second. It's no. It seems like he just saw a large. No, it's close to the Medrash. Medrash is the Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Lamed Tet. It says that he just saw a large conflagration, which seemed to be deliberately set. And in other words, somebody had actually made this conflagration. And therefore, he said it must be that the world has a also somebody who set it in motion. So that's what the Medrash says. So, going on here, the Reb Tzadok brings this down. Reb Tzadok says, get back to the place now. So, Reb Tzadok says, it's just like, it's not possible to, Efshar, which should be Labira below Mani, not possible to have this conflagration with somebody who deliberately set the fire. So this, he continues contemplating in this manner, Asher Heisi Salav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem blinked at him or squinted at him. It's interesting language. V'amar lo, he said, Ani Baal Abira, I'm the master of this conflagration. Upirish Bey, he explained, the Rebbe of Hashishcha, Masher Nemar Mal'aretz Kin Yonecha. Right, this is in Barkei Nafshi, in Tehillim 104, say, Malar et Kinyanecha. So, Malar et Kinyanecha simply means that the land is full of the things which Hashem created. But Rebbe Abunim says differently. He says, Vayna Shekol Ha'aretz Nismala, the entire land is full, Mikinyonim, meaning things which are tools of acquisition. That a person can acquire through them Yediyas Hashem. The Uma Hashem is Motumenu. Actually, let's leave the next line for now. So, this really is very similar to what the Rambam says, that how does a person come to recognize Hashem and to love him and to be in awe of him? By looking at the majesty and grandeur of the things he created. And all which Hashem created, everything he created, is majestic and grand. Even a simple rock, if you once you start looking into it and see that most of it is empty space and how atoms and molecules work, so you can see in anything the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know if at all times you could see in all things. Obviously, they didn't know about atoms till late in the game. But everything in this world is a kinyan, meaning it gives you a way to acquire awareness and knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That takes to the next level. And you also can see Umaz Hashem Yitzbarach Rotsa Mimenu. That what Hashem wants from a person. How's this? The Chol Dover Shebol Neged Einei HaAdam. Anything which comes opposite the eyes of a person, Bekivun Uvash Gacha Protius Nizdame Dover Zelen Neged Einav. Deliberately and with personal providence, this thing came opposite his eyes, kidei sheyumot es atzmo mimena, so he can learn himself from that thing which he perceives. As an amazing concept, which is one whatever a person comes into contact with, there's something a person is supposed to learn from that in order to know about himself how to be Oved Hashem. So, you know, there's the breastfeeders, they give out these little pamphlets. So I once got a pamphlet from a breastfeeder called on the topic of Shidduchim. And it says in the Breast of Pamphlet, which is very much in line with this exotic, that a person who has to go out with a lot of girls and before he finds the right one should not fall into youth, into despair. Because obviously, every girl he meets, there's a certain tikkun he has to make by their relationship with the girl. It's just that that tikkun is not the tikkun of marriage. It's the tikkun of one date or two dates or three dates, which whatever the case may be. So it's also a certain, the relationship also has a significance to it.
Randy.
Although it's not, hi Aaron, although it's
hey,
not,
Robbie.
It's not a permanent one, but anything a person comes across, anything which happens to a person, is for a lesson. Now, of course, obviously, Reb Tzadik, being Hasidish, is taking the Baal Shem Tov's approach that everything which happens to anybody in this world is Ashkacha Pratis, right? And the Rebbe Bunim is the one who said that, who's saying this, of which Reb Tzadik is building here, that if you pick a stick out of the sand and you don't believe that every particle of sand slides into the hole left by the stick, into a specific place which Hashem decreed for you at that moment, then you have a little bit of an apikorsus. So it means that Ashkacha Pratis even goes to inanimate objects and how they fall into place. So certainly, in a case where a person comes in contact with something in the course of his life, there's Ashkacha Pratis. I'm not sure, even if you're a misnagid, or you're one of the you're a vestige from the days of the Rishonim, and you don't not so comfortable with Hashgacha Pratis at all times in all places, but still, it's almost not different, because since Hashem created everything, in order to be able to perceive Him, so therefore, it doesn't matter whether this Hashem was Mashgiach should come in front of you right now or not. You can use it in order to see something about what Hashem wants from you. In other words, since everything in the Bria has that possibility of serving as a means of acquiring Yediyas Hashem, and Yediyas Hashem also is contingent on your knowing yourself, because what we say, sorry, Erza Loka, from my own self, I can perceive Hashem. So therefore, you would have to be proactive, and anything you came into contact with, you'd have to use it in order to learn something from it. So if there's Ashkacha Pratis, of course, then the Hashem put it there for you to learn something specific. Even if there's no Ashkacha Pratis, nevertheless, you still have an obligation to proactively attempt to use whatever you see in order to learn something from it. And it's very similar, but goes much more, far farther than what Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, you should be Eizu Chacham Alamei Mikol Adam. That's a regular Chacham. He learns from other people. This kind of Chacham, he learns from everything which he sees, which he perceives, which he comes into contact with. Commotion in the Sabbath now brings down a very cool story. May a rabbi call Reb Zusha Zatzal, the rabbi Reb Zusha. Shaholach b'derech l'tumo, he was walking down the road innocently. Uvol enegdo orel, and a guy came opposite him. Uvikish oso, and he asked Reb Zusha, la'mid es ha'gola im shachas, his wagon was stuck in a rut or in mud or whatever the case may be, or it's falling. So he asked him to help pick up his wagon, which is full of shachas, which is animal fodder. And Reb Tzadik writes here in the parentheses, shekorin hay. It's called hay, the fodder. That's important. The fact that it's called hay. So it's going to be important in a moment. So l'hamidah sagol im shachas shekorin hay shalom of the goy shenofa. So Reb Zusha said to the guy, "Sheino yachol, I can't do it." So beheishiv lo arel. So the guy asked him, "Yachol ata, avo in choroteh? You can do it. You don't want to do it." V'amal zeh rava kodesh aniskel. So on this, the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, "Sherom zulo, they're sending him a remez from Shamayim." Shahei tato, the letter hey, which is alluded to by the substance of hay, nafla, it fell. And he could pick it up again. Raksha in Arotze, it's that he doesn't want to do that. Now, what is hay tatoa nafla? We know that means the last hay, the Shem Hashem, represents the Malchus Hashem in this world, and the Malchus of Hashem in this world has fallen, meaning it's obviously in a state of Malchus, and therefore it's up to Am Yisrael to pick it up. And we said, those who we often say we can pick it up, but we really mean we don't want to pick it up. Now, I don't believe, Rebbe of Zusha, I assume, is just being modest, but we know he's a very humble fellow. But nevertheless, this, all of us have these things in life where we say we can't, but we really don't want. Now, in this particular reason, Tzadik, of course, being down this year over here, is to tell us that, show us how the Rebbe Zusha from the Sichat Chulin, from the mundane conversation he had with the guy, he learned something about how he should be Yoyvid Hashem. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Sichat Chulin Shel Tamid HaChomim Tzricha Talmud. You got to learn from the, so to speak, mundane chatter of the of a Talmud Chacham. But it's more than that here. Here, it's from anybody you come across at any time, in any place, any interaction has a purpose which you're supposed to learn from. Now, obviously, if you're stopped by a cop and you get a ticket, this might not be such a consolation to you or some other thing. But that is the idea. Even of such interaction, there's supposed to be some kinyan you can take, and of course there are many possibilities, from that in order to recognize Hashem and acquire a relationship with Hashem to a greater extent. And he gives another example which is more famous. The Chayim Asher Amru, that which they say in the Gemara beginning of Reish Sota, beginning of Sota, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Lama Nismacha Parshas Nazir. Why was the Parsham Nazir put next to Parshas Sota? Parsham Nazir, which tells you have to refrain from wine, is put next to Parshas Sota, the woman who was not behaving properly in matters of licentiousness. Ramar got to tell us, Shekola Roes Sota Bikukula, it tells us, Rashi brings down a B'man Chumash, that anybody who sees a Sota in her state of ruin, as she's being brought to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the waters, he should separate himself from the wine. So refrain from wine. So the obvious question is, why should he become a Nazir? He didn't sin, right? So if you see the Saita, you should become a Nazir. What do you mean? What did I do wrong? I just saw the Saita. Why should I become a Nazir? Rakshuk Mashkosavim. So, but he says that that's like we wrote. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought opposite him this Sota in her state of ruin, obviously if he saw it, it must be that it's for no other reason except to teach him to separate himself from wine. So in other words, it's a message from Hashem. Yes, of course you didn't sin, but you are capable of this sin, and therefore you have to be careful, and you have to actually make sure to take precautions ahead of time. And that was just said that the deeds of Hashem are very great. In what? In that which they are essential, not for all their needs, but for all those who want them. That anybody wants to take some sort of lesson, for serving Hashem, he can take it from Maaseh Hashem. He can take that lesson which he needs from the Maaseh Hashem, from the deeds which are from the things that Hashem made. So, this is a fascinating piece in Rav Tzadik. It's both Machshava, the idea of Hashem giving us experiences or putting us into situations or showing us things in order that we use them for Avodas Hashem. And it also has Musar, But Mussar is that a person should make sure that he does use what he sees in order to contemplate his avodas Hashem and what he has to do in order to make himself better. So that it's a beautiful piece, a very important piece. But the question is, what does it have to do with Pesach? The Tzaddik does not explain why he's bringing this down in the in his section on Pesach. So I think that the obvious answer is that this is the purpose, certainly, of miracles, of Nisim. That a miracle, a nace, is something which Am Yisrael is shown in order to teach it the lesson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, and therefore he eventually punishes the Rishoyim and rewards the Tzaddikim. That could be a simple reason. But I think it goes further than that. And the Reb Tzaddik says that in the in one of his other pieces on Pesach, he says the main lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the main lesson a person is supposed to learn from the night of the Seder is never to give up, never to be Mitzyoyish, and that because Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim was in the very depths of the klipos of the husks. They are 50th gate, or at the gate of the 50th level of Tumah. And if despair is relevant, certainly in that state of enslavement and in that state of degradation, that's a place where hopelessness would seem to be appropriate. So Reb Tzaddik says there, Reb Tzaddik says, no, the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we have to take home every year, is never give up, because you don't know what is right around the corner. In other words, this might be just the preparation for a geula. But here, in this piece of Tzaddik, is taking it even further. And he's saying that a person has to be able, in order to avoid Yeush, in order to avoid giving up hope, in any situation where he finds himself, even before he sees a light of salvation, to think how this is supposed to bring me to serve Hashem better, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a better and higher way. And a person can only do this if they have the attitude that everything in this world, which either I see or experience with any of my senses, is part and parcel of the kinyonim, which were given the modes of acquisition in order to get the relationship with Hashem strengthened and uplifted. So, taking it yet another step further, the idea which Reb Tzaddik says elsewhere, and this is of Mitzrayim. What was the most negative thing in Mitzrayim? So, he says an interesting thing. He says that in Mitzrayim is called Erevat Haaretz. It's called the licentiousness of the earth. Now, it seems Bnei Yisrael, when they're in Mitzrayim, they fought that. And that, the Kubalim say that's why Yosef was the one who had to usher in Golos Mitzrayim, because Yosef represents that the Midah of Tzaddik, which is the fight against Arayas, fight against inappropriate sexual behavior. And in fact, because I'll say there was only one person who was in that way, even that was not necessarily delivered, Shlomit Baz Divri, who from her child was the one in Parshas Emor, who was called Ben Ha'ish Yisraeli Ba'isha, Ben Ha'ish Mitzri Ba'isha Yisraelis. So, by and large, they were able to overcome that Nisayon, even though everything else they were not necessarily adhering to. In the Avodah Zarah, which they succumbed to very quickly in the Midbar, right after Matan Torah. So it seems to me that, yesterday. You know, it seems to me that the things are cycle around. By that I mean that the Nisayon of our generation, which we assume is the last generation or coming as we sink down further towards Moshiach, undergoes the same Nisayon as the first generation in Klal Yisrael. meaning that the first generation of Chrysler was confronted by a society which thrived on Arius and licentious behavior and licentious displays. And our Golus today is one which also thrives on licentious behavior and licentious displays. And it seems that what goes around now, in other words, the same tikkun which had to be made back then for the beginning is the same tikkun which has to be made at the end for the redemption. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, the Sardar goes down several times, says that you can ask why Mashiach, how Mashiach is going to come in later generations. If we see the generations get lower and lower, so the Rebbe Rabbunim said, even though generations get lower and lower in their external aspect, in their internal nekuda, in their internal point, they get higher and higher. So what does it mean to get higher and higher? It seems that we are all much lower than previous generations. We're far degraded in our environment and far less engaged in our Avodas Hashem as we know stories from previous generations. So the difference is that Am Yisrael, at the time of Mitzrayim, they had Nisim, which helped them to see that Ratzon Hashem was not to get involved and immersed and assimilated into this milieu. We don't have those Nisim anymore. We don't have no Nisim. The whole idea of the end of days is that there are no more miracles. There's no Ruach HaKodesh, there's nothing. Not even Big Rebbes and Rabbanim anymore. So at this time, it's an even greater Nisayon test than it was at the beginning of time. So therefore, it's a much bigger level for a person to be able to withstand whatever extent they can withstand and be able to maintain that inner point regardless of all the temptations and all the difficulties which surround us at all times, specifically in matters of Arias. So the question is then, so what do you do? In other words, what are the tools? Okay, we find ourselves in this situation, and the push-up shot is that we're not supposed to succumb. We're supposed to see it as a test, and we're supposed to avoid as much as possible looking at things inappropriate or thinking about things inappropriate. But the Maisa, what is the lesson in this, which we're supposed to take for our Avodas Hashem, besides just to negate it? There's a fascinating one with Brachas, and I'll conclude with this. One of Brachas says, I believe it was Rabbi Gamliel, who was rounding a corner, and he saw a beautiful woman, and he made a bracha. Made a bracha, shekacha lo b'olamo, that how wondrous it is that Hashem has this type of entity in his world. And the Talmud of Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yisrael Bloch, he says, from this we see that one of the complaints which people have against Chazal, that Chazal had no sense of the aesthetic and the beautiful, is not true. They knew what beauty was when they saw beauty, but they would not deliberately look for it. In this case, when he came across it, he was turning a corner, and there the woman was. He perceived it, and he said the bracha. But he wouldn't go look for it because Hashem didn't put it in front of him. If Hashem puts it in front of him in such a situation, yes, of course he makes the bracha. He recognizes and appreciates the beauty. But he doesn't go to seek it out. So, because of the potential pitfalls, obviously. And the Baal Shem Tov says something similar. He says, when a person in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I don't know how the Baal Shem Tov's time that they had such problems, but the Baal Shem Tov speaks about it. He says, if a person gets a thought in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that's of a beautiful woman, so then he should think to himself, well, this beauty, from whence did it come? It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a manifestation of Hashem's greatness. So therefore, I should use this thought which I had about this woman as a tool in order to further lift up my thoughts towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person is a person on the one hand, as like Rav Tzadok says, has to look at things and which he comes across as tools for which to serve Hashem. At the same time, a person has to make sure, doesn't have to look for them, because sometimes if a person looks for them and they don't come across as the person's path, then it's probably not good for that person. So therefore, what we learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim is that together with this Chazal and Maseches Brachos, is that in a situation where a person is in that state of temptation by all sorts of inappropriate milieus in which a person goes, a person has to retain that sense that I'm not going to look deliberately, I'm going to try to avoid it, but if I can't avoid it and it happens and I have a thought or a distraction of some sort, you know, this is what Hashem created, this is something which I should appreciate and use if I did see it and did come across it in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to realize something about my avoda. So I just wanted to point, which I wanted to throw in and conclude. So Pesach is, as we said, a time when a person has to remember never to give up, because no matter how bad things are, there's always something which a person can, so to speak, see the silver lining and use it in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person goes through the world with that attitude, so then they're not so bad. And that really was, I think, Nochum Ish Gamzu's attitude. That Gamzu Toiva means everything which happened to him was for him to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way, shape, or form. So how can anything ever be bad? How can anything ever be truly bad? Anyway, so we should be zoichah on Pesach to think about these ideas, not to ever give up, and how to relate to things we come across and how not to deliberately come across them. And we should be zoichah to continue uplifting that inner nekuda in all of us to bring about B'yas Mashiach Tikkenu, Yimeir B'Yameinu Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening.
Excellent.
Hi, Kosher Mitzameach to everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Yep, that too.